things you don't want to talk about.
No.
I'm proud you were a soldier. You know that? Was it awful? Being a soldier?
Sometimes.
Would you talk about the war now? If I wanted you to?
That would sound like a dream. Other people's dreams aren't very interesting, usually.
I heard you tell Father once about a German firing squad. A man who got shot.
Edgar Darby, yeah.
You had to bury him.
Yeah.
Did he see you with your shovels before he was shot?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Valencia. I gotta take a leak.
Billy groped for the light in the bathroom and realized when he touched the rough walls he was back in 1944 in the prison hospital again. Billy was approaching the back of the latrine. He looked inside. The place was crammed with Americans with their pants down. They were as sick as volcanoes. An American near Billy wailed, "I've excreted everything but my brains, boy. Final last vomit." That was the teller of this story. That was him. That was me. At 3 a.m. on Billy's morphine night in prison, two Englishmen carried in Paul Lazzaro, the car thief from Cicero, Illinois, who had been caught stealing cigarettes.
Here he is. One of yours, I believe. Had to knock him up. Doesn't weigh as much as a chicken.
A German major came in. He considered the Englishmen as close friends. His English was splendid. He was apologetic that they had to put up with these Americans. He quoted from a report on the behavior of these American POWs from a former American who had risen high in German high command. Howard W. Campbell, Jr., a man who would later hang himself while awaiting trial as a war criminal. So it goes. Billy went to sleep that night, listening to the German reading extracts from the report.
America is the wealthiest nation on earth, but its people are mainly poor. They do not love one another because they do not love themselves. Thus, the disagreeable behavior of enlisted men in German prisons ceases to be a mystery. Self-pitying, unfraternal, and dirty. Can you hear what I'm saying, soldier?
Can you hear what I'm saying, Dad?
Billy Pilgrim had gone to sleep in the hospital after the morphine and woken in 1968. It was his daughter, Barbara. He was a widower. She was reproaching him for writing ridiculous letters to the newspapers.
Of course I can hear you.
If you're going to act like a child, maybe we'll have to treat you like a child.
That isn't what happens next.
Don't tell me what happens next. Is the heat on? The furnace thing in the basement. I don't think it's working.
Maybe not.
Aren't you cold?
Oh, I hadn't noticed. Did you know on Trofamidor they don't see humans as two-legged creatures? They see them as great millipedes with babies' legs at one end and old people's legs at the
other. You'll freeze to death and then starve to death.
It was very exciting for her, taking his dignity away in the name of love. She called the oil burner man, and when the heat came on, she set the blanket to highest, which made Billy's bed hot enough to bake bread in. Billy traveled back in time to the zoo on Trofamidor. A mate had been brought from Earth for him. She was Montana Wildhack, a motion picture star. Everybody on Trofamidor wanted to see the Earthling's mate. A vast crowd gathered outside the zoo. Montana was naked, and so was Billy. He had a tremendous wang, incidentally. You never know who'll get one.
Where am I?
Please, don't be afraid.
I was by my pool in Palm Springs. Oh, my God. Who are they? What's happening?
It's all right. You get used to it. Believe me, they won't hurt us.
All those little green hands. flapping. Oh, my God. What is this?
Listen.